Welcome to Imagine This Podcast, working from home COVID-19 edition. This is David Lee.
It's Mac Antigua.
As you can tell, we are not in the same place, separated by, 10 miles or so? So I think we are within the regulations of social distancing.
David, I do have to call it the fact that you never read the script that we produced meticulously so people get it. Okay, so here it is. Welcome to Imagine This Podcast, where we discuss, celebrate, and highlight all the excellent and abundant arts and culture in Milwaukee. We hope that after listening to the pod, you'll see and experience our city, an incredibly vibrant arts and culture community, in a new way. And in a new way is probably the highlight of that underlined part, given that, yes, we are both recording this remotely. I'm up in Sherwood, Wisconsin. You're down in Bayview. So we are purely honoring the codes of social distancing.
Yes, but social distancing cannot stop our podcast, which I think, unfortunately, as some of you have you savvy chart followers have noticed that we have fallen 23 slots in the charts. We're down to 273 now.
I blame the pandemic.
We're going to blame everything on the pandemic.
I blame the pandemic. It's awful.
Yeah. So we are all, as with many of you, we've gone remote at Imagine MKE. We've all sort of, we've made much more use of our Teams function, our Teams intranet and Zoom. How's it been like for you, this last week working from home?
It's Groundhog Day, in the sense that I'm lucky enough that I have a home I can work out of that has a separate space. But it's been hard to literally make that border between work and home, as evidently we're doing this on a Sunday afternoon, which could easily stand in for, another day.
Monday, right.
Yeah.
That's right.
You know what I mean? Like it doesn't feel like I'm working from home. I'm feeling like this is kind of how things are. So like at least the last week it's been, I work remotely in my history. So I'm able to call on those muscles and I'm having to get them back into play. And I've also really taken steps for self-care, right? I'm sure to run or work out 3 times a week and do some actually activities and stuff, even though it's been too cold really outside. So I think that's another big part of it is honoring the physical. What about for you?
Yeah. So as you know, when I was running the State Association of Food Banks, I was mostly remote. I was in the office in Madison like once or twice a week. So, for 3-4 days a week, I was actually working from home or on the road traveling around the state. And so this is like you, I think, a bit of a return to what life had been like. But I think for me, it's the inability to do other things, right? To go out and see friends and to do the things that you normally are able to do during normal life. Go see a play,
Yeah.
That's been really, really tough.
Yeah.
I think, and tough for everybody. I think we have, I feel like, and I could be wrong, but thanks to you, have really helped. You've really helped us utilize Zoom and fun Zoom activities to get to know each other in new ways, and that's been a lot of fun. So that at least has been fun.
We'll see how long that lasts. Like I'm pretty good for a week, and there's only so many tricks on the back, but we'll see what we can do. And that being said, thanks for you all listening. Hopefully, again, we welcome you back. Thanks for getting us up the charts. And more importantly, today's episode, right, is working through this pandemic and really supporting a key audience for us, which is our artists here in Milwaukee. So just to reframe it, right, David, Imagine Milwaukee, one of our core agenda pieces is support for artists, right? We want Milwaukee to be a city that artists can thrive. With COVID-19, we're not even talking about thrive, we're just talking about survive. Right. And so this pod is really trying to explain to you, the listener, how Imagine MKE is trying to be in its best and highest use during this time in service to supporting our artists.
Yeah. And so I think over the last week, we really put our heads together in figuring out what, again, like Max said, what is our highest and best use in supporting our artists and supporting the sector. And, we quickly realized that I think we had three main functions in this time, which is to support our artists through this MKE Artist Relief Fund that we stood up very, very quickly a week ago Friday, which we'll talk a little bit about in this episode. The second piece is really about story collection. Many of the artists who are within our network and working these days are really hurting because of the canceled gigs, the social distancing, and all of the other things that have made it really, really difficult for them to do their gigs and to perform in shows. And so we need to collect those stories to tell about the people who actually make our city vibrant and alive and amazing and everything else. So we're collecting those stories, and we'll talk a little bit about that too. And then the third piece, which is really, really important, because you know all the things that we're doing are really helpful and exciting, and giving out $500 grants is really helpful in the immediate term. But if we don't get some policy changes and get a right policy response for not only our individual artists, but also our sector as a whole, we might not make it through as strong as we can be. And we all know that we need a strong art sector for us to be able to make sense of what has happened and to help us be able to heal after we get through this immediate response.
Great. So let's talk about the first piece, which is the Artist Relief Fund, which has started to make some traction. We put this up last Friday. When I say last Friday, just give you perspective, I believe that was Friday, March 13th,
March 13th. It was Friday the 13th.
Yeah, Friday the 13th, right. And so the premise of that was how do we get relief to artists really rapidly? And so we just studied really rapidly that day, four different funds that were put up also rapidly, Minnesota, Seattle, Durham, North Carolina, and Boston. And actually what was interesting was that all those different funds had different sort of levels of management. Like one was managed by the city, one was volunteer driven, that was just on GoFundMe, and a couple of those were actually run by nonprofits. So looking at those, you know, we studied how they communicated about it. We actually looked at their applications and tried to figure out what was right for Milwaukee. And our best thinking was, right, what can we do that makes decisions rapidly, given artists need relief in real time? And two, how do we make sure we honor our own value of equity, right? Because it's in really difficult times, we know that there are populations, right, that get overlooked, that get marginalized in the rush of things. And we really want to make sure if we do this, that we should give priority to those audiences that have been traditionally left out, to make sure that they get relief. Because also during this time, because they're not getting access to resources in other areas, right, they might be in more dire straits than others.
Yeah, and what was really cool about what had happened on Friday was while the team was figuring out the sort of admin piece of how we would do this fund, we were also part of a live stream benefit concert, right? The total bleep show, which was done with our friends at Mindpool Live, who were incredible at standing up this incredible benefit show that benefited our fund, that had Zed Kenzo, Lex Allen, Rex, and Bayview Massacre playing at an undisclosed location in Bayview, possibly with a lot of really great pro creatives behind the camera who helped to produce this live stream on Facebook. I think over 7,000 people watched that Friday night, and we raised a couple thousand dollars to kick off the fund. Which really gave us this this boost into this last week, where we were actually able to raise what was the number, Mac? $14,000 by the end of the week.
$13,900, right? So just to give people a sense, our target is $50,000 raised and out the door by April 10th, right? And so again, it's speed is the play, right? Speed and rapid raising and deployment. And so we thought $50,000 was a number that's pretty big size to us, right? Like, I know I don't have $50,000 in my pocket. I don't think Dave has $50,000. It's not like our org has $50,000, right? Like scanning, but we also knew that it's a number that's, you know, it's achievable in 4 weeks, but it also matters, right? If we do it right, we can get 100 artists support relief in it, right? Obviously there's a lot more artists, but at least it's something, right, to get started. And so that was sort of the thought. And if you go $50,000, that's like $12,500 a week. When you think about it, when you break it down, that's what we're trying to do. And as of Thursday, right, we actually raised $13,900. So we're actually about ahead by a grand. So that was really exciting to hear. Conversely, right, because we're thinking about this weekly, We are also collecting applications every week. And at that time, we collected 210 applications from folks.
How many days was that, Mac? Did we open the application?
So the concert was Friday, so people could donate as of Friday, March 13th. But actually, we finally got the application up and running March 16th, like end of day, March 16th, Monday night. And so that was really only 2 days of folks submitting applications. And then we needed some time to turn it around. So that's why we cut it off Wednesday. We wanted to get out checks by Friday. Like, we raised that money, right? $13,009. And we wanted to turn around and get the checks. And so you actually need time to review the applications. And to be quite candid, we can review them all, right, in that time. We were able to review a good number of them. And we're actually still this weekend, I've been reviewing and reviewing, but we were able to, because we only had enough resources, we had enough resources for 30 artists to get supported. We definitely covered that lot. We were able to review enough to get to that point.
Yeah. And as I've been telling our team, I've personally committed to reading every single one of these stories and every single one of the applications. And they are, they all tell a version of the same kind of story, right? A hardworking visual artist, photographic or film artist or dancer, actor, other performing artist who had a series of gigs that were booked that got canceled because of the response to COVID-19 and now are out several thousand dollars, right? Because they were planning on this revenue to come in, or they lost a job because of hours or job because of the cutbacks or the closings of restaurants and bars. So this is hitting people really, really directly in their pocketbooks. And I think the thing we'll talk about a little bit later is that, creatives and artists typically are, they're in a different class of employees. So they typically don't get unemployment, which is why this is such a brutal sort of a double-edged stab into their revenue stream.
Right. And that's again, you're speaking, David, again, part of like how we learned about other places, like how do they describe what the fund could be for? And that's exactly right. Right. Like, if you're an artist that lost a gig pretty much because of COVID-19, and or you're an artist that got work in service industry, because a lot of artists are, and you got cut, your hours cut, or you're not even working anymore because those are impacted by COVID-19. Those are the folks who could apply. And we wanted to make sure that every application was reviewed by at least three people, one IMK staffer and two volunteers from our Support for Artists group who are artists themselves, because we wanted to make sure they were vetted, right? Like, we're not vetting for worthiness, like, is your art good? We're just looking for proof of practice, right? And that whatever you ask for, up to $500, that it makes sense, right? In terms of that the story checks out. And so, it's not a high threshold, but we also want to make sure the folks who put in the fund, we had 109 people donate for $13,900 by last week. So it's a lot of people we want to hold accountability to. So that's sort of our process inside and out, if you're wondering how we make those decisions.
So there's one sort of really exciting piece of news, and I think it's exciting because it's a big deal, but also it underscores the other side, which is the need and what we really want people to take away from this podcast, right? So I think some of you heard earlier this, or you will hear, I guess, because this will be in the future when we release this, that the Greater Milwaukee Foundation has donated $25,000 into the MKE Artist Relief Fund, which is incredible.
Huge.
We are so grateful.
Yeah.
Because with that $25,000 and the near, 15-ish that we've raised so far, we're about 80% to our original $50,000 goal. But as I think is, if you've been following along with the math, we have still about twice as many applications already in the hopper than we can fund even with our original goal. So Mac, can you talk a little bit about the math and how, like, what the line looks like right now?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, just to remind everybody at home, we saw this as a four-week campaign. So the premise is the Wednesday, right, of the first week, we cut the applications for review, but we're still collecting apps, right? They're just going to be put for the next week's review, if that makes sense. So we had 210. as of Wednesday that we're in the process of reviewing. Now, of course, we're continuing to collect applications. We made a decision not to close just because, you know, I'm hopeful. I'm optimistic. Even though we only set a target for 50K, it doesn't, I think there's a possibility for people to see what we're trying to do and go like, hey, I want to help that out. You know, after all, in Seattle, which is a fund we learned from, they're up at 300K after 15 days, right? So it's not to say that the possibility isn't there. That being said, David, as of today, which is Sunday, which is almost a full week, we're actually at 315 requests. Again, these are submissions. Again, we've already funded about 29. So let's say, let's knock off 30, just to make simple math. So about 275-ish, 280. If you will, that we still need to fulfill or hopefully fulfill. And if you average it out, like overall ask, right, we're averaging about $450 per ask. Again, not everybody's asking for the full 500. Overall, right, we're looking at $142,000 as of today we would have to raise if we were to meet all of those requests. So that's sobering, right? Yeah. And I honestly didn't want to close it, right, because I do think there's folks out there that if they hear about this, they're like, hey, I can help out. Like, I want to jump in. But yeah, the need's out there. As you hear, the need is out there.
The need's out there. And I think the other thing that we want to be really, really clear about is that 100% of all of the funds that are raised through the MKE Artist Relief Fund is going to go to artists. We are not taking any administrative costs off the top on this. This is all just... we get it, we collect it, and then at the end of the week, we write checks. Because this is, like Max said at the top of the show, this is really important to us and a part of our agenda, right? Which is to support artists.
Yeah, and again, to be clear, we're not a foundation, right? Like, I just want to disabuse folks the notion that if you think imagine MK is a foundation. This is not like our top muscle, if that makes sense. But that's how important it is for us to be agile. And I think some people have asked sort of, you know, I think we're able to reach individual artists quicker, if that makes sense. So on one hand, we're not a foundation, but I think the way we set this up, it makes us more agile because we also know there are big foundations out there in our city that are going to provide support for the organizations that also obviously need it. So I do think that even though this is kind of new territory for us, I think this is what was needed, and our job is to step up, right, and fill that role when our artists need support. So,
what's it been like to stand up a fund so quickly with our team?
No, I mean, I think if anything, it's been really powerful to have a sense of purpose, if that makes sense. A lot of times, I've been on the job since September, right? And infrastructure work, right, is kind of, you know, it's urgent, but it's not urgent, if that makes sense. You're doing a lot of convening, right? You're doing a lot of connecting the dots. But I will say this last week has been a bit of a rush, right? Because it's like, we got to get this in, we got to get it out right away. And I think in a time where you want to help, I want to help out, at least, you know, it's been hard work, but at least it's really felt like purposeful work too. Not to say that the work we don't usually do is purposeful, but I feel like given, you know, in this hard time, it's been a great privilege to figure out how to get it going. So I'll say that. I mean, it's been really hard, but yeah, I think really rewarding. And I think our whole team has really met that.
Yeah, no, I agree.
And our volunteers. We had 13 volunteers that reviewed these applications too. So kudos to those folks as well.
Yeah. So a key part of the... of the application is for the artist to tell us what their story is in this moment, right? And that goes to the second part of our response, which is Lindsay Sheridan and our team has been collecting artist stories to help shape and craft media pitches to ensure that media trying to tell the story about how COVID-19 has been affecting local communities. And also what people are doing in response to COVID-19 in local communities is shaped with our artists at the center, right? So we want to tell the story about how artists are being affected, yes, but also the incredibly innovative ways that artists are helping to make sure that people stay connected, right? Like we've seen on Facebook now, like a couple of different open mic live stream events, right? Like how do we we have the sense of like needing to be socially connected and be connected to each other and be connected to something greater to us is really challenged at this moment. And artists are finding really cool ways of coming together to continue to provide that sense of connection, that sense of artistic engagement, which is really, really exciting. Have you, Mac, in the times have you of the last week, as you've been putting this thing together, have you come across a particular story that has particularly moved you, or have you been particularly inspired by a response of one of our local artists?
You know, all these ideas are trying to come out of my head at the same time. So it's like, that's why I'm kind of stunned right now. Yeah. It's everything, right? I think what I'm struck by is the fact that artists themselves, given that they're also vulnerable, right, themselves, are trying to find ways, like you said, to also not just contribute to the fund, but also provide support for the city. For example, I think on Facebook, if you haven't been invited yet, they created an online group on Facebook for just live performances of folks wanting just to perform for other people. And so it'll like ping you when the events come up, knowing that people need something. I mean, that's just super innovative and creative. And I've just heard stories of just how, as I've shared the fund for people, other artists are sure to come back to me going, listen, I want to give to this. And I think that's super, you know, it's a reminder, right? Even though the artists are definitely the folks that we're trying to support, they're definitely side by side, right, in leading the charge to wanting to support their fellow peer and wanting to either through donating or taking the time to review for the story. And again, we had right now 315 people submit a request. 162 of them checked the box saying, please share my story, right? Like, you can take my story and share it. And another 72 said, hey, don't share my story, but you can use my email. Like, if somebody's asking about this story, feel free to share it. So I think that's sort of the upside of this too, is that we want to amplify this, want to lift up these folks. And I think that's part of what the work that we're trying to do is create a platform so folks can be heard or have their story told. But that's sort of what shows up for me right now.
I think the thing that I'm reminded of is the very special COVID-19 episode we did with Megan McGee that seems so long ago, right?
Felt like a month ago.
That was only a week ago. But like this idea that like, how do we utilize or how do we tell stories in a way that helps to move the needle on some of these public policy changes and the systemic challenges, not only that artists and arts organizations face, but we as a state face in trying to support our artists, right? Like, and this sort of goes into the third piece of our response, which is really about how do we shape the public policy response to what's happening? You know, our state is somewhere between 48th and 50th in the nation in public funding. We're not quite sure, but it's not good where we fall. And I think that has led to some really tight issues for not only our artists, but also our arts organizations whereby they can't put on shows, they can't do classes, all of the streams of revenue are closed off. And so while the public policy response is really moving quickly and changing a lot over time, I think there are basically three streams of response we're looking at. A, how do we help on the federal side, right? There's going to be a lot of money coming through on the federal recovery bill or the federal recovery bills. And so how do we ensure that we have a path to unemployment for our freelance creatives and artists who are not typically eligible for unemployment? Mm-hmm. The second piece is how do we make sure that nonprofits are eligible for any small business loans coming through the federal side, right? Because our institutions need access to liquidity to keep their doors open. Mm-hmm. I think that's a really big fear, right? Because if we shut down for two weeks, people start like scattering, and then suddenly, like, how do you come back and sort of restart our industry? And then the third piece is, how do we ensure that we have a more sustainable stream of public funding for our arts and culture sector? I think the, like I said, Wisconsin is 48th or 50th in public funding for the arts. We need to figure out how we invest in our arts and culture organizations, infrastructure, and artists such that we can weather and thrive through the other side of this pandemic.
No, I'm also hopeful that, you know, given a lot of the artists, right, are in the gig economy, right, very much freelancers. Like, I think it's important for our sort of public policy push to also include, you know, how to make sure that those freelancers aren't left out there, right? And what are their access to healthcare? What is their access to, insurance and other pieces, right? I think as we move forward on this, right, we got to figure out how to support, again, the artists who fit that. And again, it doesn't just have the artists. There's a lot of people that are not artists that have that, you know, sort of very, you know, temporary type setup, right? And I think it's important for us to figure out how to access that. So again, this is not necessarily an arts and culture problem, right? This is just a labor issue, right? How to make sure that folks, you know, get access again to safety nets, right? So that they're not in a really bad place, right? And so I think when we talk about this sort of, like, there's obviously the immediate response, there's going to be a relief bill, right, of some sort. How do we make sure that our constituencies are covered? But also moving forward, right? Like you said, David, how do we continue to make sure that they're in the conversation and that they're being considered when we're thinking of legislation moving forward? So yeah.
My hope is that because this is such a sort of groundbreaking disruptive event, right? Disruptive global event, that the response is going to have to be commensurate, right? And my guess is my hope is that whatever that response is, it sort of becomes like rainfall and falls on everybody. We have, clearly there are going to be some folks who are going to be that may fall through the cracks. And I think for us, like, being able to continue to have laser clear focus and target on those folks who may not have the sort of eligibility, right? The clearest example is that, you know, even if you're a creative freelancer who works six weeks on a show, right? Maybe at a production company, and this thing happens, you might not have enough weeks to qualify for unemployment, right? That's a problem. Right. We got to fix that. If you're a bartender and you get laid off because of this thing, you might not qualify. We got to fix that. So you might be acting in a show, and if the show gets canceled, you get fired, you get laid off, you're not in the union, you might not qualify for the expanded unemployment. We got to fix that. So I think those are simple policy fixes that begin to include some of the folks within our immediate constituency.
So as we, you know, sort of pivot towards the home stretch on this, the hope is that as you're listening, you sense that, you know, when we talk about this podcast is talking about the work that Imagine MK is trying to do, and the work's on three levels. Again, one, making sure to provide as much relief as possible to our artists directly and rapidly. Two, to collect all these stories, right? So therefore we can make sure those stories are being heard, and to inform, three, the policies, right, that are being developed in search of the relief bill, right, that'll be happening, as well as beyond the relief bill, you know, because I gotta imagine, right, we're gonna be rethinking things, right? We're gonna be, there's gonna be a new normal with regards to this. How do we make sure this new normal is shaped? To that being said, usually we do joyful abundance. And to me, the joyful abundance is you, the listener, right? The residents in Milwaukee. And we've got some requests for you to support this work. David, what are the ways that these folks can work on three levels here?
Yeah. So for the MKE Artist Relief Fund, we need you to donate. And we need you to tell your friends to donate. And we need to grow this fund because, like, again, if you've been following along in the math, we have many more applications that we want to fund than our originally stated goal. And just because we're going to get to that goal likely by the end of this week because of this incredibly generous gift from the Greater Milwaukee Foundation, we're not going to stop because we know the amount of need that is out there. And so we need to help. We need your help in continuing to grow this gift. You can go to our website at www.imaginemke.org to figure out how you can give. If you want to help partner with us on a fundraiser or some sort of peer-to-peer thing, get in touch with me. Our contact information is on the website. We can figure something out. Second piece on story collection, reach out to Lindsay Sheridan on our team. Again, her contact information is on our website. If you want to share your story, if you want to help, if you want to help us, if you work in media or marketing, you want to help us shape stories and co-pitch, reach out to her. She is open for business. We are trying to amplify as many stories about how incredible our artists and arts and culture organizations, how strong we are together in this pandemic. And the third thing is, for now, if you can go to our website and write a letter to your elected officials to let them know what you want in a federal and state recovery package and what you want them to fight for, that form is on our website. What we ask for you to do, there's a template letter. When you enter in your contact information, it'll connect you to your legislators. Just personalize the letter with a story about how the arts has affected your life or how COVID-19 has affected your life as an artist, because they need to hear from you. That's that piece about, that's why these stories are so important, right? People, our elected officials really respond to when their constituents tell them how their policies are affecting them. So please do that. We really, really need your help on all three of those areas.
And you can find that again, imaginemke.org. You'll find under the Arch Champion banner, the COVID-19 response. And it's got those three bullets that Dave was talking about. And you could do this. And I did. I sent a note to the governor. I sent a note to the lieutenant governor, to my reps, my state reps, et cetera. So it's super easy. It takes about a minute. And the more they hear from you, the more we could make sure that they're going to acknowledge and include arts and culture as they make these decisions. So that being said, thanks again for tuning into this episode where we're talking about the work that's happening amidst this. We will continue to reduce some more pods, even though we're doing it remotely. We'll continue to do it. So stay tuned for that. In the meantime, if you got any more questions, email us at pod@imaginemke.org or hit us up on social, imagine_MKE, I believe on Twitter and Insta, or you can find us on Facebook at imagine_MKE. Otherwise, stay healthy, everybody.
Take care. See you next week.
Bye.
Bye.